Hello, kids. Bat Segundo here, and it's that time again. That moment where our young roving correspondent has far too much Red Bull and goes off gallivanting with a microphone at a comic convention. If it were me, I'd head to the bar. But then it's never me. I never get any say. I'm the host, not the guy who interviews people in the first place. And already I have bits of herring stuck between my teeth from the last show, so I'll make this quick. This is the first of several podcasts dealing with Alternative Press Expo 2007. Now, if Jorge will pass me a toothpick, maybe I might be okay.
Okay, so I am here with the one, the only Carmen Ogden, author of Submarine File, as well as most recently Fat Camille. Carmen, what is this Fat Camille, and why Camille? Why not? What is this?
Fat Camille started off as a sample I did for a comic book class for 8-year-olds. And all of a sudden I was drawing this really round, sort of sad, pathetic person. And then after a while I realized it was me. And so I was like, a vehicle for autobiographical kind of things and feelings. And I haven't thought this through very well. But
wait a minute. Your name is Carmen, not Camille.
Yeah, well, Camille's my alter ego name. So.
But this is you. This can't be an alter ego. I mean, please explain the difference, the disparity between Carmen and Camille. You must explain this for our listeners.
Camille is a black and white character about 3 inches tall. Okay. Only exists on a two-dimensional page.
Okay, and you are 2 inches tall, I see.
I am 5'4", I weigh 100 pounds, and I'm a human being.
Okay, and do you have anything else to tell the internet audience? Is there anything I could do to send people your way?
Let's see here. PR. It's touching. People love it. You need to discover Fat Camille.
Okay, well, what's the difference between Fat Camille and Submarine File? Because there is a good deal of asses, as I read, in Submarine File. So what's up? What's the difference?
Submarine File is... I never know what to look at you or the thing. Submarine File is more of a brooding meditation on what it means to be in a small metal container in the middle of the ocean. And Fat Camille is more like, what is it like to be a 30-something in the West Coast and grappling with the issues that affect normal people?
So you felt that you needed to turn towards realism here?
Exactly. Less hatching, more lines, much quicker production.
Okay, cool. Well, thanks very much. Well, maybe you could explain the spider here and your friend Heather?
Heather,
what's your last name?
Morgan.
Heather Morgan. I believe we talked last year, did we?
I don't think so.
Well, we're going to talk this year. So, Heather, what's the deal with the spider here?
The spider or bugs or beetles? I don't know. I have a fascination with bugs, and I just started out just making postcards, so that's it.
Okay. Do they pertain to any particular comic here on the table, or?
No, not yet.
You're gonna draw a topic, and you're gonna have mini comics here for all to sample.
Sometime in the future.
Yeah. Cool. Well, thanks so much. Excuse me. Who are you? You're another media outlet. What's your name?
What?
You have five people. I'm one person. I don't need your little, four. I don't even need your little CW. So, what's your name?
My name is Jess, and we're interns from the local CW Bay Area network.
Well, what is CW Bay Area? I don't watch TV. What is CW?
CW is UPN and WB, the newly merged formed television network.
Well, WB and UPN have merged?
Yeah, about.
No one told me this.
I'm sorry. I'm here to say the last one to know about 9 months ago. But it has shows like America's Next Top Model and The Simpsons and South Park.
Okay, but if WB and UPN merge, shouldn't it be called WPN? or UB? How the hell did you get CW out of this?
That's a very valid, what is this for?
This is for a podcast called The Bat Segundo Show.
Well, I have to get these guys to sign releases, so.
They have to, to sign releases? Yeah. I don't need releases for my work.
This isn't live or anything, right?
No, this is actually going into a van that's parked across the street over there.
Aren't I supposed to sign something for approval on this, or?
No, I'm a journalist.
Well,
you have the legal problems, I don't.
Yeah, I should walk away now. No.
Well, you don't even tell me, what's your name?
I did tell you my name.
No, you didn't.
Yeah.
I didn't believe that when the first time you told it to me.
My name is Jess.
Do you have a last name?
I am not going to tell you.
You're not going to tell me?
No.
But how am I supposed to understand the magic of CW if you don't tell me your last name?
Everybody should watch the network. I gotta get back to work, my friend.
Oh.
Yeah.
Am I gonna get you in trouble?
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, God bless CW. I think CW is gonna be fantastic. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, hello. Hi. Who are you people? I didn't realize you merged. Are you in the middle of something?
Yes. It was 1 second.
One second. 2 seconds. 2 seconds? 1, 2. Okay, so. Anyway, we have a man named Sasha Arnold interviewing Bob the Angry Flower. We're going to go ahead and see how things go from there. Okay, so Sasha, first question.
Bob, why are you so angry?
Oh, God damn it. You know, I was actually just thinking I need to print out a little piece of paper that says, because of that fucking stupid question, and just tack it right there, so then when people ask it, I can just point.
You should make that your business card.
Well, all right, I will. You got it.
Ah, okay, thank you. Glad you approve.
Another question.
Another question.
Yeah.
Very well, then. Okay.
He has a thing on his head. You may want to ask him about that.
Yeah, what's the deal with that thing on your head?
Well, it's eye-catching. You want the truth or some made-up funny bullshit? Now, I'll just give you the truth, because it makes people stop and laugh. They want to take a picture, and then they're like, well, if someone's wearing that thing on his head, perhaps he knows his way around a joke or two, and...
Can you write off the flower on your head for, you know, a marketing tool?
I kept my receipts, but I'm not that smart.
Actually, this is a question I want to ask. As a cartoonist, what exactly have you been... How far do you go in writing things off? I mean...
It's a little more complicated these days because... Because I work in America now, my cartooning, I sort of try not to make any money on it because my visa sort of doesn't really let me, so...
So you actually you have to run budgets like crazy. You're like a Terry Gilliam run amok.
Something like that, yeah. So, but you can, I mean, if you want, you can write off all kinds of crazy things. I mean, your art supplies, your foam core flower heads, your travel, your...
I really feel that we should consult all cartoonists for tax advice, don't you?
That's one I didn't hear.
I really feel that we should consult all cartoonists for tax advice, don't you? Forget the accountants. The cartoonists have the real answer.
I think you should basically consult everyone for tax advice. I mean, you want to get a broad spectrum of suggestions, and then you can sort of pick the best ones.
What is next in Angry Flowerland? It's a cliched question, but it must be asked since we haven't even touched on your work.
Well, I don't know really what's next. I imagine next week I'll draw a comic, and then the week after that I'll probably draw another one, and then I'll just sort of repeat until dead. I don't have anything super more figured out, and at some point I'll put another book.
Where do you see yourself in 6 months and 32 days?
Let's see, what's it now? April? So May, June, July, August, September, and 32 days, October. I think I see myself in Seattle working.
Do you see yourself in a mirror?
Pardon?
Do you see yourself in a mirror?
In the mirror?
Yeah, in the mirror every day when you get up and you take a shower.
Yeah, I don't look at the mirror though.
Are you afraid of what you see in the mirror?
No, I'm just not interested.
Do you get angry?
How do you know you're not a vampire?
I guess I don't know that I'm not a vampire.
But you're here in the day, so that kind of puts a...
That speaks strongly against me being one, but I can't say for certain.
Well, Mr. Bob the Angry Flower, who is quite human beneath the flower visage, thank you so much. It was a pleasure chatting with you.
All right. Well, it was a pleasure chatting with you folks as well.
I kissed the kids at noon. Then stumbled out the room. I caught a cab, ran up a tab on 7th and Flower. Best recital I had to run. Missed my son's graduation. Punched the nipples boy.
Hi, I'm here with, I'm probably going to mispronounce this, but it's Tumuli Studios?
Yes, Tumuli Studios.
Hi, and let's hear a little bit more about Tumuli Studios and what you guys do and what your comics are all about.
I'm only mostly focusing on all age appropriate comics. I feel that there's a lot of stuff out there for grown-ups, but there isn't too much out there for younger audiences, and there's not a lot of range either. And so I really want to kind of push that envelope with giving a larger range.
Well, that's very interesting because traditionally when we think of comics, it's, you know, for kids, they discover them as kids. So it's interesting you bring up the whole age appropriateness. So, you know, what sort of things are you working on at the moment?
Right now I have a children's book and I'm also doing a webcomic called How to Be a House Cat. And it's going to be just a little short one-pagers about just kind of the funny things of house cats. Cats are actually kind of the beginning of Tamuli. My own cats have inspired me to make ridiculous comics about them. So
how far along in progress are you at the moment on the webcomic?
On the webcomic, I only have a couple pages drawn right now, but I'm really going to try to update, you know, once or twice a week and really keep it going.
And what's this about a Drakon handmade book?
Oh, I have two handmade books here, Drakon and Where's Marmalade. One is a comic collection of dragon stories, and the other one is a children's story. So, and they're all handmade books. I hand bind them myself.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
No problem.
Actually, I want to ask you about the paneling in the Drakon books. Maybe you can talk about how these panels kind of came to be, because it's really quite compartmentalized, almost like, you know, Mandarin, I guess.
Wait, excuse me? Sorry, I didn't hear you.
No, the paneling of here, the paneling is like very compartmentalized like this, you know? And also, I was hoping to find out who this gentleman is right here. Is he a random person who accompanies all exhibitors? Or?
He is my help for the day and also a very good friend of mine for many years. And he's been very helpful in keeping me going.
He's also binding your book, I see.
He's helping me with binding my books. I spend many hours doing this.
When do you anticipate How to Be a House Cat being finished here? Or is this just kind of, you know...
It's going to be kind of ongoing. When I run out of ideas for little shorts, that's when it will stop.
And your name is Jacqueline?
My name is Jackie.
Jackie Metz. Thank you so much. Okay, so I am here with, what is your name?
My name's Tammy Stellanova.
Hi, Tammy Stellanova. What's this Field Guide to Urban Wildlife? Tell us all about it.
Well, it's a series that a bunch of illustrators put together, kind of as portfolio pieces. It actually turned into a cool book where it features the big five animals that you might find in the city. The pigeon, rat, cockroach, fly, and raccoon.
Do you go into an even greater taxonomy? Because there are different types of rats and different types of pigeons, too.
Well, these are the specific genus and species that you would find in an urban setting.
Oh, okay. So this is really scientific, then.
Yeah, it's somewhat scientific, but friendly at the same time.
Friendly? Yeah. You think scientific comics aren't very friendly for the most part?
My scientific comics are very friendly. Like Breeding Season right here, this comic that's all about working with the northern elephant seal, which is something I did a few years ago. And I try to talk about educational stuff about the seals, but at the same time show you how funny and fun and cool they are. I'm hoping to bring science to everybody just by talking about why animals are awesome.
Now, do you have a background in science? I'm guessing that you may do.
I do, in fact, have a background in science. I have a biology degree as well as an art degree, but I realized I prefer to draw and write about animals than work in a lab. So this is it. I also make animal jewelry. Each of these guys have facts about each animal, and I do all the illustrations for the jewelry, and then you learn a little bit about them, whether they're endangered, etc.
Do you feel that there are just not so many facts? I mean, there's actually an interesting book by Robert Sullivan about rats, and he tells about very disturbing things. Do you think that people might be afraid if they knew all the facts about all these animals in urban settings?
I think I love these animals so much that the things I tend to highlight are why they're cool rather than why they're scary. Like, a lot of people hate pigeons, but I went on at length about why pigeons are like the ultimate example of evolutionary fitness, because rather than being punched out by cities coming into their territory, they're thriving and they figured out a way to make it work for them, which I think is really a reason that pigeons are cool.
Plus, they also take care of our waste for us.
Exactly. And now the pigeons are attracting hawks to the city, which I think is a wonderful thing, because hawks keep the pigeon and rat populations in check. And I'm like, wow, this is like a real, we're working with these animals. We're creating our own little ecosystem. And I think that's great.
Are you part of this Breeding Season?
Support. I'm here as her friend.
You're here as her friend.
And Booth Babe. I'm the Booth Babe. I'm here to promote Tammy's fabulous artwork and her beautiful jewelry, which you see I'm wearing on my person.
Very, very nice. Well, thank you both for talking. I looks very exciting.
You will never, never, never know me.
Okay, so I am here with the creator of Martin the Satanic Raccoon. What is your name, sir, and can you explain how satanic Martin is?
My name is Gabriel Martinez, and Martin is very satanic by most people's judgments, probably. His entire existence is dedicated to death metal, killing babies, and doing horrible, disgusting things to people.
Like what?
The comic contains a lot of poop jokes.
Well, there, you know, South Park contains a lot of poop jokes.
Not a lot of coprophilia jokes.
Oh, fantastic. So that's what makes him satanic?
Among other things. That's not the only part of it.
Do you feel that most raccoons are satanic?
Yeah, actually. I went to school in Santa Cruz, and it's infested with raccoons, and they're definitely satanic.
So it was in Santa Cruz that you really sort of came to terms with the fact that raccoons are pretty satanic, and that's what spawned the character of Martin?
Exactly.
You have no further sort of thing? I mean, were there early drafts of satanic raccoons? Was there Phil the satanic raccoon or Jorge the satanic raccoon?
No, there weren't too many. At one time in Santa Cruz, I think the genesis began when we came upon a group of them, you know, eating their lunch out of the dumpster. And not only were they not afraid of people passing by, one of them, an enormous one the size of a German Shepherd, got out and walked towards people, hissing at them to warn them to stay the fuck away from his garbage.
But surely raccoons are capable of good things, too. I mean, satanic's a really strong word to use.
Yeah, but I wanted to keep it that way, just so everyone knows where we stand.
Is this, the comic book medium sort of requires this sort of, you know, terroristic sort of appellation of satanic to a raccoon?
Yes, it is in fact a little bit of a propaganda for the way the world ought to be.
Really?
If everyone took a giant steaming dump on more Christians, the world would probably be a much better place.
Okay, sir. Well, thank you so much.
I got a small friend who has a bad friend who had a big friend who gave birth to many friends with our flashlights to the sky. We waited for them to land. I've got two tall friends.
Okay, so I am here with Brian Anderson, I believe.
Yes, that's correct.
All right, and just tell us a little bit more about So Super Duper.
So Super Duper is my independent comic that I created about a character named Psyche, who is part of a team, but he is not quite as super as everyone else.
Why did you decide to create this character then?
I always wanted to do a character who was kind of different from the rest of the characters. Most superhero characters are always strong and buff and confident, and he's definitely none of those things. So I just wanted to kind of explore somebody who is not the typical superhero.
So in other words, you wanted to create more of a three-dimensional aspect to superheroes?
Yeah, definitely. And he's kind of a lot like myself, where he's kind of nerdy-ish and, you know, shy and just not quite as fabulous as he wants to be.
So this is issue one. Is it going to be a limited series, or do you see this going on forever and ever?
You know, it just depends on how well I do. If people like it, you know, I have no idea. It's my first show. So if people like it, great. It continues. If not, then, you know.
And even though this is very early in Ape so far, what do you think of the whole spectacle?
So far, it's been okay. It's been kind of quiet. I've only had one sale so far, so that's good. Better than zero.
Excellent. And who is the gentleman sitting next to you?
I'm Preston.
What brings you here?
I'm his cheerleader.
Excellent. His cheerleader. Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Preston and Brian. Really appreciate it.
Thanks.
Trying to make it rhyme, good people. It gave my mind a little place to hide.
What is your name, sir?
My name is Alex Cahill.
And Alex Cahill, what comic do you have here, Alex Cahill?
We have three different books, the newest of which is the first issue of Poison the Cure, which my buddy Jad Ziotti has written.
Oh, really?
I am the artist of the book, yes.
And is the artist typically more talkative than the writer?
It depends on which artist and writer you're talking about. In this particular duo, I would say that's the case, yes.
So, well, can we get at least a sentence from the writer?
Hi, my name is Jad, and this is a sentence.
Okay, thank you, Jad. We got one sentence from a very diffident writer. Anyway, well, tell us, what is Poison the Cure about exactly?
Poison the Cure is a four-part sci-fi story, each of whose parts is about 100 pages. The story, roughly, is that a group of interstellar explorers come upon a desolated planet, and through the main story with the main characters, they discover how life on that planet ceased to exist.
Do we have any kind of clues as to, you know, because there's a lot of apocalyptic things in the air right now.
There are clues in the book, for certain.
Is this meant to represent reality right now?
That's a good question, Jad.
I'll leave that up to the reader.
What can you actually reveal, just a clue to someone who might be wanting to know about Poison the Gate?
I know. It has a robot.
Ah, so robots are the savior of humanity.
It's got a robot.
Robots are not the savior of humanity.
Still has a robot.
Robots may or may not be the savior of humanity.
Correct.
Okay. Well, thank you very much to you, gentlemen.
Our deco and a little off the wall. It's the service that you wouldn't want to call.
Okay, so I'm here with Brian Lee O'Malley. Brian, how are you doing and what's going on?
I'm at Ape. It's very exciting.
You look really excited. You sound really excited. What is there to be excited about these days?
Comics? I don't know. Comics are amazing.
Perhaps you can describe your comics. That's the whole purpose of this, perhaps. Maybe. I may be giving you a clue.
Okay. Well, I do a comic called Scott Pilgrim. I'm building an empire, slowly. It's an independent comic book about a guy from Canada who kind of is just a slacker and plays in a rock band and has to fight his girlfriend's 7 evil ex-boyfriends in epic battles. And it's very fun. It's doing well.
Have you found that there's been any sort of major changes? Are we expecting any major changes to Scott Pilgrim in the next forthcoming, you know, set of series?
Well, he's supposed to get it together because the next book is called Scott Pilgrim Gets It Together. So we'll see. Maybe.
Yes, but you don't strike me as quite a literal man guy.
No, maybe I am. Maybe I'm just trying to, like, trick everyone.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
So can we really seriously believe all of your titles? Scott Pilgrim Gets Together? He will get together.
He may get it together. Or maybe it's a mystery. I don't know. I don't like talking about the next book.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, let's talk about the previous books then.
Okay.
I mean, Scott Pilgrim's Precious Little Life.
Yeah. I don't remember where I came up with the title for that one. It just popped in my mind and I just put it down. It's kind of stupid. But it's not.
I happen to like the title, actually.
I like it, too. I just don't know where it came from.
Then wait, so do you like the title and yet it's stupid?
It's weird. I don't know. I just don't know where it came from. I don't have, like, a justification for it.
Were you looking at something precious and little when you came up with the title?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, that's fine. Thank you very much, Brian. Okay, so what is your name?
My name is Tessa Brenton.
And you have a cannon loose. Can you describe why the cannon is loose? There's some pretty interesting things here. Are you you're operating a little bit on the wild side? Or?
Yeah. Well, initially it was supposed to be a loose cannon, but there are like all of these country bands that are named that, and they had taken all the websites. So
you feared litigation perhaps too?
Exactly, because, you know, a bunch of rednecks in Kentucky might, you know, copyright infringement sue or something. Anyways, yeah, so it's just a collection of autobiographical comics, the usual narcissistic fare for, like, the comic crowd.
The usual narcissistic fare? That sounds like life's rich pageant.
It is! You go everywhere, though. Last year when I came here, I just remember looking at this guy's, hand-drawn comics about all of his fucked up relationships, and each ex-girlfriend, her head was in a different shape, like a triangle or a circle. It just seemed like the most fucked up, bizarre, like, self-absorbed, but that's the point of comics, right? It's self-expression.
What is your spin on this? Surely you actually have consistent heads in your work.
Oh, yes. Consistent heads. It's mostly about, I don't know, humiliation and joy and, like, the... I don't know. I can't really sum it up.
Okay, so let's talk about humiliation. What type of humiliation can we get from a cannon loose?
What type of humiliation? Particularly, I tend to focus on retail humiliation because I work in retail and I, like, often loathe my job, and so, no, I mean, it's fine, but mocking people that I help is, like, one of the ways that I deal with it. So, you know, I, like, make fun of people.
Now, the people who you mock, are they aware that you're mocking them in their comics?
No, they have no idea.
This is the magic of retail, then.
Exactly. Well, I mean, it's satisfying because you spend all of your time behind a counter helping people, but they really don't know that they're being used in comics that will be sold to strangers in San Francisco.
So basically for you, a job is just the perfect place to mine for autobiographical material, which you can then use in a comic.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. It was a pleasure chatting with you.
So fair.
Well, thank you.
Let it go on along. Octopus for good. You got that cherry bomb. Blow out that cherry bomb.
Okay, so what is your name?
It's Melina Mena.
Melina Mena, and what is this Samerksi?
Samerksi?
Yes.
Or
sour milksi. I'm just trying to be funny here.
I would say a type of fruit bat, but.
No, but I mean, it could be read as one word. But anyway, tell us about you. I know that this is interesting because you have collecting issues 1 through 4, 5 through 8. So these must have been very small issues to begin with.
Yes.
Well, could you describe, just so we know what sour milksi is?
Everybody dies and they come back to life later on.
How does sour milk figure into the equation?
That's how they die. They drown.
They drown in sour milk?
Yes.
This comes from personal experience?
Reoccurring dream. It smells bad. Have you smelled sour milk?
Yes, I have. But I'm wondering why sour milk in particular more so than, you know, say another untimely beverage.
Okay, I didn't come up with the name. You caught me.
Oh, well, who did?
George Harrison.
Yes, that's right. That's right. So you took George Harrison's title and turned it into a comic?
I didn't know I did that.
You didn't?
No. I was told that it was one of Freddie Mercury's pre-Queen bands.
Ah, who told you this?
An ex-boyfriend.
Who is now an ex-boyfriend?
Who is now an ex-boyfriend.
Well, okay. Well, could you just offer, like, what's a typical plot line in Sour Milksi?
Unrequited love. The toaster has particular feelings for the robot, and then she kicks him.
She kicks him. That's pretty hostile feeling.
Yes.
Okay. Well, this gives us enough in enigma to continue to go forward. But thank you so much. Here with a man who claims to be DJ Bryant, cartoon extraordinaire. What makes you so extraordinary, sir?
Well, it's a touch of grain of salt with irony there. Although I do have confidence in my abilities, and one of these things you're constantly selling yourself, and so it's kind of a circus-y type of thing, and I was exploiting that. So a touch of irony, but also with a little bit of genuine belief in my ability. So,
did you feel you needed that adjective extraordinary or extraordinaire in this case turned into a noun in order to actually get attention? Obviously, it attracted me.
Yeah, it pumps it up. It's part of the circus feel. You know, I don't know. I think everything is sort of two sides of the same coin. So on the one hand, you have... a lot of confidence, maybe too much confidence in your own work. On the other hand, you feel kind of low in yourself and your abilities. So it kind of, the mix of irony with genuine feeling is kind of...
the noun itself is a stabilizing device for your mood, better than any kind of antidepressant.
I guess so.
Okay, well, what do you draw? I mean, I don't even have a sense of what you draw. I mean, I just know you're an extraordinary cartoonist.
This is all my stuff right here. I got some sketchbooks. Here's a steel charged horse cap, Snarflet. This is the newest thing I got here, and I have...
Why is there a diacritical mark over the E?
Huh?
Snarflet, there's a diacritical mark over the E. It's a U, like, sort of upside down thing, and I don't have my dictionary, so I can't remember what it is.
Oh, that's the vowel sound for... What do you call that, babe?
I don't know.
You know, the E, there's like the line that's E. And then
it's not an umlaut.
I forget what it's called.
Well, you should know, sir. You're the one who concocted this.
it's a one of those
so
pronunciation
now the punctuation
things.
Extraordinaire. Just cartoonist extraordinaire.
I don't know my punctuation terminology.
Okay, well, what is Snarflet about?
Oh, you have to read it to find out. That's why you have to pay.
Okay, well, see, here's the thing. I'm portraying what is happening here at APE to, you know, thousands of listeners, perhaps. I don't know. This is your chance. This is your big opportunity to let people know about you, DJ Bryant, cartoonist extraordinaire. What is Snarflet about?
Snarfled is kind of a parody of comic strips like Garfield, except it's sick.
There's a character here with a tongue sticking out in one eye.
Why?
Oh no, that's Odor. It's referring to.
Yeah. What about him?
Yeah. No, I'm just cartoon of a cartoon aspect. I'm remarking.
Well, I'm trying to figure out your question.
I don't know if I had one. I was just kind of observing. I wanted you to kind of respond to my observation, if that's okay with you.
Is the work not speaking?
Snarfled's kind of, you can't really tell if he's jerking off or if it's just a character on his wiener, but he's being disturbed by this other guy whose name is Odor.
Odor, okay. Has Jim Davis approached you, sir?
Huh?
What do you have against Jim Davis?
I don't have anything against Jim Davis. I just hope Jim Davis never sees any of this stuff.
Well, what if I were to inform him that you, sir, are sort of finding kooky inspiration in his work?
Well, hopefully he'd be flattered instead of offended.
Okay. Well, fantastic. Well, thank you, Mr. Cartoonist Extraordinaire. It's a pleasure. What is your name, sir?
Travis Fox.
And what is Foxy Moron?
It's a autobiographical comic about me.
You're saying you're a Foxy Moron?
Yeah, it's like my last name's Fox, so it's kind of a play on word.
So you yourself are not Foxy?
Yeah, I don't break it into like two, like I'm sexy but stupid type thing. No, it's just like a pun.
Ah, it's sort of like double thing.
Exactly, right.
Okay, well, what is the plot line of Foxy Moron? What autobiographical elements have you drawn from, sir?
Exactly. Yeah, it's like based on real life for the most part. You know, sometimes it gets like wacky and stuff, but you know, for the most part, it's little quirks that I have with things going on or things that have happened to me.
Well, wacky quirks, can you be like offer an example of what wacky or quirks mean to you?
Let's see. Like my wife used to work at Blockbuster. And the shit people would leave, like, in the Dropbox would be, like, library books and tacos and, like, really, really stupid things. Or they'd see a preview for a movie, like, you know, X-Men 3. And it's, like, coming out in the theaters, like, 4 months from now. And so, like, wait, I saw the commercial. Obviously, it's on DVD. You know, I want to rent it today.
So it seems to me that the sort of foxymoronic qualities... oxymoron, too, come from what you observe around you, not necessarily you.
Right, exactly. Yeah, you know.
You were not Foxy Moroni.
Exactly. But yeah, a lot of the stuff's about me. But yeah, you know, just whatever makes me tick.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Okay, sir, what is your name and what are your thoughts on Belgium?
Noir Amador, and I love the waffles.
Okay, and are you here for the waffles or are you here for the comics?
Well, I initially came for the waffles, but then they got like $180 out of me, so I'm here for the weekend.
Oh, well, so there are actually waffles here that one can get?
Yeah, but I can't tell you where they're at.
Well, I know there's a Mother Goose conspiracy. Is the waffle conspiracy kind of an adjunct to the Mother Goose one?
Isn't Belgian French fries, like the cone, you get the French fries in the cone, isn't that Belgian French fries?
It may be.
Those are freedom fries, dude.
Like a trillion different
fries. Those are freedom fries.
Goddamn communist.
Yeah, get out of here with this non-freedom fries shit. Yeah, but I don't know about the Mother Goose conspiracy. That was something that was cooked up by probably people that aren't fans of Belgium.
So you, sir, are here as a supportive friend, or?
Oh, yeah, I'm like the jockstrap that holds it all together.
Fantastic. Well, thank you, Mr. Jockstrap. It was a pleasure chatting with you.
She my love. You know, she my friend.
I'm here with a fellow who has something called I Love Mitch, who may or may not be responsible for it. Perhaps you could identify yourself and tell us what I Love Mitch is and what your part, or I Heart Mitch, rather.
My name is Arhel Brown. I Heart Mitch is a short story with comic book interludes. It's written by Mike Alonde, who's standing next to me. He's a soft-spoken man. It's about a no-name henchman who we gave a name, Mitch. And it goes on about an investigative report on his death.
Really? So what came first, the short story or the comic?
The short story, and then I decided to draw a little chicken scratch drawings to it.
Okay, well, what made this a more sort of comic-themed sort of story as opposed to just being a short story?
Because it's a lot of homage to old Nintendo games and and just old school comics.
So you needed to have visual references in this story?
Exactly. It made it better with visual references. If I wasn't so lazy, would have done a whole comic, but...
Oh, so this is kind of like in between a fiction and a comic then?
Exactly. It's just like that.
Really? So how would you describe your laziness, and how does this affect your artwork?
It did well because it's done through interviews. And so in between the interviews, to get from one interviewee to another, you see the little story of the investigator. And so it works out. It pushes the whole book along.
Okay. So you conducted these interviews then?
No, I just drew the comics.
Okay, but you conducted these interviews, sir.
What?
You were the man responsible for the interviews that I Heart Mitch is based on.
Yes, I am.
Okay, so did you modify any of the sort of answers for these interviews? I mean, hey, I can actually turn this interview into a comic too. I mean, I want to ask you for hints.
Are you just asking me like just how I did the?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Really, with the interviews, we decided to do as like short, quick chapters that just deal with inside the comics and in general about the no-name henchmen that never get any play and all of that. And with the comic book interludes, it allows us to show action instead of just tell action. We think that's a really exciting way of presenting our story.
And were you responsible for this kind of lazy halfway approach between the comics and fiction?
Yes, I think I am. Just equally lazy and,
So which one of the two of you is lazier?
That'd be me.
Why is that?
Because, well...
Because you're holding the beer?
Because I'm holding the beer. That's how the whole process went.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, gentlemen. Okay, there is a person here with a guitar who also may be a cartoonist, so perhaps we're going to get some answers. What's your name? What's the guitar? What's the cartoons? What's going on?
Oh, well, it's not a cartoon. My name is Hope. This is Nicolette. Yes?
It's Nicolette who's the cartoonist and you're the guitar accompaniment.
She's the artist. I'm just here along for the ride.
Well, Nicolette, tell us about what you have here. Kelvin's stuff?
Hi, I am one of the artists on this table, but I have a couple books. It was One of the Night, a children's story, a little story for children, and then some mini paintings and stickers. And we have some other artists at the same table who have shirts, a couple sketchbooks, and some blank sketchbooks and cards for sale.
Do you feel that the guitar accompaniment will be an advantage for you?
Yes, we thought it would draw a crowd, but we're not so sure anymore.
No, it's drawn us here, though.
It's true. What's the mass media on this? How far out do we go on this? Do we have any subscribers?
Oh, there are people listening to this in Belgium.
I love it. This is great. We're going to be going global.
Well, tell us about what does happen in It Was One in the Night, and why did you choose comics for this children's collection?
Well, One in the Night, it's basically a story about a girl who's first learning how to tell time. And there's a little bit of confusion between AM and PM, so she gets up in the middle of the night and doesn't understand why it's 1 o'clock, but everybody's sleeping and it's dark and there's crickets singing, and so she's trying to figure it out, and she still hasn't gotten the whole concept of time down.
Really? Are you familiar with Mary Otis, a short story writer? Because she had a very similar kind of premise.
No, I'm not sure. And I haven't actually seen that, but yeah.
Well, thanks so much, both of you.
Thank you. Friends are just dots and commas. Still say you
got one on us. All right, sir. Who are you? What do you have? What is your comic? Please, name, rank, and serial number.
Do I still have a serial number? My name is Jeff Sugale. My rank is United States taxpayer. And no, I have a number of things here. First of all, I do a webcomic called Just a Bit Off, which I have ash cans for. I'm a concept artist in the video game business. I have a sketchbook with some stuff from that. I have a comic book called Kindergoth that I did a couple years ago. It's tattooed body pierced kindergartners saving the world from aliens. I have my old comic Mystic for Hire, which is my first self-published comic I did, about 7 years ago.
And it's here for everyone. There's a whole bunch of these left or something?
Yeah,
from seven.
I have a lot of Mystic for Hires, and I have a closet full of them. And oh, yeah, I'm not supposed to talk about that. They're very special. They're special gifts to everybody, yeah.
And we're giving
So the sense I'm getting is you're working across multiple media. Maybe you can describe the comparative creative process across each perspective medium.
No, it's pretty much the same thing everywhere I go. I kind of imagine something and then I draw it, depending on what tool is there. But no, I work just a bit off. I actually draw on paper, and then I scan it into the computer and put it up online for people to see. Kindergoth was done on paper and then gray toned in the computer. Mystic for Hire was done all digital. I did the whole thing in Photoshop and airbrushed it very, very elaborately.
How did you do ElfQuest?
ElfQuest I did in the computer too, yeah. I don't have any ElfQuest with me today, unfortunately. I have this acrylic painting that I did by hand on acrylic. Most of the time I work in the computer. I work on a Macintosh with Painter, doing concept paintings for video game companies.
What pros and cons do you find between like hand drawing and also doing this in the computer?
It's a lot faster in the computer. The problem is on the computer you don't have any originals to sell or show around when you're done with it.
Got you. And why wear a Leatherface t-shirt for this?
Can't you tell by my...
Oh, stop.
I thought it was a nice likeness. Yeah, she bought this for me. It's a token of love. So, indeed. Well, that's a different kind of love, I think.
No,
it's not the love you're thinking.
It's not the love I'm thinking of. Yes, indeed.
Thank you very much, Jeff.
Thank you.
Okay, sir, who are you? What do you have? Please, 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 pimp yourself.
My name is Christian Horn. I'm an illustrator and a cartoonist, and I'm pimping the Diplomatics.com, which is a political cartoon strip starring superheroes online.
And what makes this political superhero comic different from other political superhero comics?
It makes it different from other political superhero comics in that there are no other political superhero comics.
There aren't? I'm reading about six of them right now.
Oh, what are they?
I can't tell you what they are, but I'm sure you there are other political superhero comics.
Well, I'll just say that mine just mostly deals with the, what do you call it? Well, basically, you've got the stereotypical superheroes and how they deal with what they are as opposed to what their values are. So basically, the big thing being like one of the main characters, his name is Atomic Yellow, and he was created by an industrial atomic accident. But at the same time, he's trying to do the right thing by the world, but dealing with the fact that he's radioactive. It might be there, you know, certain dichotomy between maybe harming other people through his radioactivity and trying to help them using it. It kind of doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense, but you know, why don't you describe what the superpowers of this, you know, the Diplomatics are? I mean, are they able to like actually like, you know, get Israel and Palestine to kind of kiss and make up? Or?
Well, nobody's going to get that to happen.
You call yourself a superhero comic?
Well, I mean, they could try, but I mean, that's sort of the whole point of the strip is that you're not going to solve the world's problems by punching people in the face. You know what I mean? Basically, and that's where the, you know, imbalance lies, where you've certainly got these people with superpowers, but they have their values, which, you know, other superhero strips don't really, you know, talk about, but they're not really going to make any huge change. You know, they're going to try and keep trying, and that's sort of the futility of it. You know,
then what makes them superheroes?
Well, basically that they have superpowers. I mean, that's the only thing that really makes superheroes, right?
So even with superpowers, politics is a terrible business.
Yes, exactly. It's just horrible and it's a big mess. And that's what causes all the insanity within the strip down the line, is that they basically all have different views. They have to try and work together, but they don't really get anything done in the end. So,
no happy ending.
Well, there's never a happy ending in politics.
No, there isn't.
Yeah, you're right, definitely.
All right, well, sir, I'm a little stunned and hurt, but thank you so much.
Well, it's a positive strip, don't
we? Oh, it is? Oh, it's positive.
Yeah, well, they're
funny.
Yes.
It's entertaining.
Entertaining, yes. Absolutely.
Okay, fantastic.
Okay.
What else can you say? Other adjectives before we go?
Really pretty, I don't know.
Really pretty, okay.
That's pretty much it.
Okay, well, thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.